We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Let's pray. Father, as we come around your word today, I'm asking you again, Lord, help us to hear what you want heard. Help me to say what I know you've put on my heart to say. Help us, Father, not just to hear a message, but to live it out. And everybody said, amen. Now, before you sit down, I want to ask you a question. How good are you at following? Not leading, because this is the leadership culture here. Amen. If you haven't noticed that, this church is a leadership culture church. Starts by leading ourselves. But I want to ask you, are you a good follower? And that's my message today. So before you sit down, find three people and say, you look like a good follower to me. Come on. You look like a good follower to me. Matter of fact, here's another question. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? Now, I'm not just talking about social media following. I'm gonna ask you a question. If I were to ask you to write down the names of three people who you follow in terms of them leading you, who would they be? Who do you follow? And if all we do is follow people who are, you know, disconnected from us in any interaction, that's probably not good. So who do you follow? And then maybe more importantly, not just who do you follow, but as important is how do you follow? What kind of a follower are you? So of course we've seen all the, you know, we were just in Texas for a night visiting with Laurie and Thunder. Sam was out preaching somewhere or doing something with a Christmas play. And Laurie's trying to figure out what time we were gonna leave. And I said, oh, we're gonna leave at 9:45, Laurie. And Laurie didn't know what 9:45 was. And I realized I had to say 9:45 because she's in that digital era where 9:45 doesn't make any sense. It's like, so I say, okay, Laurie, 9:45, you know, and it's not wrong. It's not like there's any lack of intelligence there. I promise you, it's just how we think differently. How many of the days when you used to drive somewhere and you had to pull out your map book and you know, you'd be on page 32, then what the map, the road on that map runs out and then it says, go to map 64. Page, you're on page 22, now it says go to page 64. I'm thinking, why isn't it 23? Or is it just me? Like, you feel like you should be able to turn the page. And I wonder today, if our GPSs went down, God forbid, how many people would be directionally dysfunctional and would not be able to even read a street map? So this is what happens when you become too reliant on following a GPS. I just did a little bit of research here. I want to show you. That is a bus that was so interested in following the GPS, it forgot how tall it was and hit the bridge. That's a bad, following a GPS, not noticing the obvious in front of you. Here's another example. Look at this one. This one's funny. This is a car who actually is following the directions of a GPS and not noticing what's in front of it. I've got another one here. This one's really funny. I think this one's like, how did you get there? Number one, he's reversed into it. Like, that's what's even funnier to me about that. He's following, these are actually photographs of people following a GPS. This isn't just at a boat ramp. You with me here? Okay, here's another one. I love this one. This is people trying to go to an island and they actually followed the GPS. And obviously the GPS was slightly out because there's actually a wharf that you're supposed to go to, but they followed the GPS onto the beach and into the water. I think that's hilarious. Another one here. Look at this one here. This one, that one's kind of unfortunate, isn't it? That's not really funny. To me, it is funny, so long as no one got hurt. That's hilarious. How do you get yourself in that predicament? But my favorite one is this one here. Look at this one. This one is, I mean, he followed, there's a cable tie, if you can't see it, and he literally drove the car up the cable tie that's holding that pole up, and that's called not paying attention of what's in front of you because you're following a GPS. So how many know that we would call those people blind followers? And that is not good. Would you agree with me on that at least? So I thought, how good are we at following? Let me show you a verse in the Bible. Matthew chapter 2, verse 9. It says, and they heard the king. And this is a whole story about these wise men. And they talked to the king saying, where is the king of the Jews? And it's Herod, and you know, and it says, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose, went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. These are the wise men looking for Jesus. And they saw the star and they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his Mary mother and they bowed down and worshipped him. I want to ask you a question. How good of a follower are you? The Bible says here that they followed the star. Are you hearing me? And the star led them to the birth scene of where Jesus was born. And I'm thinking to myself, the Bible says these were wise men. These weren't fools. These weren't people easily quick, there goes a star, let's follow it. There was wisdom, there was intent, there was research, there was preparation, there was this moment. And it says they bowed down and worshiped Jesus. The star led them to Jesus. And I just wonder today, are we good followers? I want to ask you a question. Who do you bow down to? Because we must all bow. Amen. And I'm wondering, are there people in our lives even that we would submit and yield our leadership, our mission, and our vision to? I've seen church pastors get themselves in a lot of trouble when they've got nobody that can speak into their life. I've seen business people get themselves in all sorts of challenges when there's nobody that can actually speak lovingly, correctively into their life. Matter of fact, I think one of the great examples right now, and I'm not sitting in judgment over him, I'm just thinking, dear God, put people in his life, is Elon Musk. I mean, the guy's a genius. If you don't know anything about the guy, I mean, rocket scientist extraordinaire and, you know, the Tesla motor car company, which, by the way, it's not really about cars. It's about batteries, if you know anything about what's going on behind that story. And I'm thinking, the guy gets himself in all sorts of trouble by saying things. I'm just thinking, you know, the further you go in life, it's the more important is you have people that you bow down to, that you submit your life, your ministry, your mission, and your vision to. That doesn't mean the more people, the further you go, the more people you bow down to, but you better make sure there are some that can speak into your life. Somebody say amen. It says, when they saw the child, they bowed down and worshipped, and they opened their treasures and presented him, Jesus, with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And of course, we know those gifts are the very thing that financed and bankrolled the early days of Jesus' life. And Jesus, of course, we know Joseph somewhere in this story disappears. And we know that Mary still had to raise Jesus. And we know that it was those gifts that actually enabled him to begin to actually live out his life on planet Earth. And so today's world considers someone following someone else as a lack of intelligence. And we see things like cults, and we look at someone caught up in a cult, and we think, how could they be so blind? It's because that there's a community that has been created where they feel dysfunction, but they actually don't feel dysfunctional in that community. And they feel there's an identification, there's no judging, and it's comfortable. Or for instance, gangs is another example where, you know, I'm broken and I relate to your brokenness, so let's all be broken together. And that's what actually is the core of what brings a gang together. Or for instance, even a sports team. I mean, sports teams have followers. Gangs have followers. Cults have followers, don't they? Sport teams. I mean, I'm a Jets fan. How many know that I'm a very sad person? Like yesterday, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, please, please win a game. And they're now 4-10. That's not a good record if you don't know. And then I'm a Mets fan. Now, could you imagine my life? I'm a sports follower. I love sports. Amen. I can tell some of you aren't relating to this in the slightest. You need help. Sports is amazing. I love golfing. I love scuba diving. I love fishing. I love shooting. Last time I said that, I thought a lady from PETA was going to kill me. PETA, people eating tasty animals. I'm just saying. And I got to be careful. The headquarters is right here in Norfolk, right? So let's get off that subject. I just think, you know, the Bible says God made the world, all the world. And he goes to man, have dominion over it. Rule over the birds of the air, the fish of the sea. build, dream, big, large. So who are you following? Because in this midst of having dominion, I wonder if we would understand the wisdom that profounded Jesus. I mean, no, if you can make Jesus marvel at you, you're good. And the centurion who Jesus was going to go heal his servant, the centurion heard that Jesus was going to come, and Jesus is on his way to heal the centurion's servant because he loved Israel and he built the house of God. Excuse me. The centurion says to Jesus through a messenger, "You don't need to come. I didn't consider myself worthy to have you come." He goes, "You just speak the word. And it'll happen because I too am a man of authority. I say, this one, come, and he comes. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I know authority when I see it. And I know all you gotta do, Jesus, is speak it, for I'm a man in authority and I'm a man under authority. And the amount of authority that you will be in will be determined by the amount of authority you are under." So I'm just asking a question at the end of this year, going into a new year, talking about a biblical version of an account of wise men following a star. Who do you follow? Let's not just make it about us and our leadership and our dream and our mission, but are you a good follower? Do you know what it is to be in authority, and do you know what it is to be under authority? Amen. Jesus has followers. Wise men followed the star. Amen. And it says here, as a result of following this star, it says that led them to Jesus. If you follow Jesus, it says they were overjoyed. Can I tell you, you show me somebody who's follower of Jesus and I'll show you somebody who's got some joy in their life. I want you to notice this. They didn't worship the star. They didn't just follow the star thinking the star was all the big. They weren't astrology new ages into their zodiac sign. The star is what led them to Jesus. Amen. And the star led them to Jesus. I love that thought. They came and they worshiped. They bowed down. They listen to this. They didn't worship the star. They worshiped Jesus. And it says they brought gifts. And they opened their treasures. They didn't come empty-handed. They came prepared. We're going to follow the star, and the star will lead us to the Son of God. And when we see the Son of God, they were filled with joy. They bowed down. Listen to it. They opened their treasures. They worshiped him. Anybody here want to be a follower of Jesus? The challenge is we live in a world where we're suspicious of listening or following anything or anyone. Matter of fact, we want to be considered as independent free thinkers. We want to lead our own lives, true? And so the world is divided in terms of who they'll listen to, wouldn't you agree? And we define ourselves often in today's modern world with how many followers or how many likes on social media. I've been at a couple of conferences recently and I've met a few pastors and they always say to me, "Oh man, so you're the pastor of Wave Church. Man, your church is famous." And they say, "We hear about the building." I go, "The building's nothing. You should meet the people." I mean, Bill, it's the people. And then they say, "Do you realize that we've heard about Wave Church, but we didn't know who the pastor was?" And they're saying, "Does that bother you?" And I'm thinking, not in the slightest. The Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. Now, don't get me wrong. I know my role. I know what God's called me to do. But I want to tell you, to me, that's a compliment. They were saying it almost as like a diss. Like, boy, you know, I'm thinking, I want to make the church famous. The church will still be here should Jesus tarry long after I'm gone. And she was here long before I ever came. I want to make the church famous. I want to make people to meet Jesus. The Bible says in this culture that we live in, that we want to become independent free thinkers, that we're a person that makes our own decisions. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is death. Look what the Bible says here. I wonder how good are we at following. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. So they pulled up their boats up onto the shore and left everything and followed him. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And then he called to the crowd, to him, and it says, with these disciples, and he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and watch it, follow me. I love that time when Jesus was speaking to this large group of people, and Jesus was never enamored with crowds. He was never, worried about who was there and who wasn't there. And Jesus one time says something to really, I still to this day, I've read it 100 times. Probably over 100 times. And I still to this day don't fully understand the context of what it is that he was trying to do, except he's God. And I don't understand everything about what Jesus does and why Jesus does it, but I do trust him. So he says something that I still to this day kind of just go, what? He says, unless you eat my blood and drink my flesh. Now, I understand the concept. We got to partake of the body of Christ. I understand theologically what he's saying, but the way he said it, I kind of understand. People just went, oh, that's cannibalism. That's like, and Jesus said it, I think, deliberately. I still don't understand fully why he said the way he said it, but I just know he's God. And the Bible says that masses of people just went, we're out of here. See ya. We're gone. And then he turns to his disciples and he didn't say, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't like it, come back. He just looked at his disciples and goes, what about you? Are you going to go as well? And I love it, because sometimes you're following Jesus, but you don't understand everything. And I love what they said. Well, who else could we go to? Only you have the words of eternal life. Sometimes in your following Jesus, it's a little bit like that. I don't understand everything, but who else do we turn to? Because you, we know, have the words of eternal life. We know you're the Son of God. We know you're wiser and smarter. We don't understand everything, but we're going to follow you. I just wonder, how good are we at following? So I want to give you 3 thoughts this morning. Is that okay? Because, there were a good preaching church. We actually have 3 points. Praise the Lord. So here are my 3 points. Number one, how good are you at following? I'm going to just say this. We got to, number one, follow godly leaders. Because I know plenty of people who say, oh yeah, I'll follow God, I'm submitted to Jesus, but that submission is outworked in your ability to actually follow the leaders that God puts in and over your life. That's, people say, Pastor, I'd do anything for you, okay? And then, so you drive into the parking lot and the parking attendant who's there under a delegated authority to help people park, and then coming into the auditorium to help people find a seat, and there's an usher, and they say, Pastor, I'm submitted to you. I love you, Pastor. Whatever you say, all the way, I'm in. And then an usher says, could you please sit here? You're not going to tell me where I'm going to sit. I'll sit wherever I darn well want to sit. Who do you think you are? That's delegated authority. Oh, okay, we'll just keep moving now, okay. And so it says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Remember your leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Amen. Look at this, 1 Samuel 14. I want to show you one more verse about following well. It says in 1 Samuel 14, Jonathan climbed up this mountain. This is a story of the Philistines with 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, an infantry that can't be numbered. And Jonathan started this whole mess in the first place by having a battle and winning a victory. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight against the Israelites, because every time you take on the enemy, he will fight back. And it will look overwhelming. You will look outnumbered. It will look like there's no hope, there's no way. But Jonathan's sick and tired of being sick and tired. Jonathan's got, I've had enough of this. We're not living under the oppression of the enemy. We're not going to the devil for permission to be here. We're going to rise up. I started this. I'm going to fix it. I'd rather die than live like this. And it's not until we get that uncomfortable that we really begin to fight again. For some of us, and here's Jonathan going, I'm fed up. I'm not listening to Dad. I'm not asking Dad. I'm not even telling Dad I'm doing this. He turns to his armor bearer, and it says, Jonathan climbed up using his hands and feet with his armor bearer right where? Behind him. And the Philistines fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer followed and killed behind him. I want to ask you, who are you following? How well are you following? I love it because when you read this account of Jonathan, he says to his armor bearer, let's take on the 30,000 chariots. Let's take on Hampton Roads. Let's see her saved. Hey, let's have a dream beyond Hampton Roads. Let's see God do something in North Carolina. Let's see God do something in Richmond. Let's see God do something in Los Angeles. I'm with you all the way, Pastor. Who are you following? Where are you? The armor bearer says, do all that's in your heart. I'm with you heart and soul. And the armor bearer was right behind, and it says, killing the Philistines with Jonathan. I love that. We live in a world of independence. We live in a world where the idea of following is actually not a very attractive concept. We can make our own decisions. I decide, listen to this, to follow godly leaders. That's a decision that you make yourself. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, remember the leaders, amen, who spoke the word. I'm making a decision that I will follow godly leaders and godly leaders' examples. It's not a weakness, it's an evidence of being a Christ follower, amen? So how do we know if we're following well? Well, look what it says. When we remember the leaders who spoke the word to us. I know in my life, I've over the many years been involved in raising up many a great man and a woman of God. In my life, in the early days of my youth pastoring, some of the people that were in our youth group today are guys like Mark Hopkins, who's preaching in Wave Richmond this morning. Guys like Phil Dooley, who actually pastors the Hillsong Church in the continent or in the nation of South Africa. And now churches all over the nation of Africa are being planted by Hillsong Church in Africa through South Africa. I remember when Phil Dooley was just a 15-year-old little boy teaching him how to drive and seeing leadership gifting on his life and saying, you're going to do something great for God. I remember Christine Kane, who was in our Bible school back in Hillsong days. I said, Christine, you are going to either change the world or you're going to kill the devil, or you're going to set off a nuclear bomb. You are a fireball for God. And Christine Kane will say how that she remembers the words that were spoken over her, and she's now living in a fulfillment of things that actually she remembers that I prophesied and saw something in her when nobody else saw it in her. And I want to tell you, there's something, and I love it when every now and again you'll get some encouraging letter or an email or a text message from somebody. A pastor in Newcastle in England wrote to me recently and says, man, I am where I am today because you found me at a cable water ski park. He was the instructor and he was a backslidden pastor's son from England. And I found him and I wouldn't let go of him. And I kept saying, stop running from God, man. You got a call of God on your life. Just recently, he was given £1 million to help him buy the building in Newcastle. And I said, man, it's all good. Glad to be a part of it. And he goes, I just want you to know, I haven't forgotten the investment you've made in my life today. And I am where I am today. Those sorts of people who don't forget the godly influence of leadership are the people I see are doing the most for God. Amen. And look what the Bible says. It's not just, we're not just following people because of a personality. We're not just, I mean, the Bible says Jesus made himself of no reputation. That's my concept of good leadership. Amen. That's my, it's not about me. It's not about how many followers do I have. It's not about how many life. It's not about, well, Steve Kelly is bigger than the name of Wade Church. God forbid. To me, that would be repulsive. I want the church to be famous. And all I want to do is be somebody who points people to the word. Come here. Look at this. Check this. John chapter 1, it says in verse 1, in the beginning, I love you. Every time I read this, I get excited. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. No, you didn't hear it. I got to read it to you one more time. In the beginning was the Word, not Donald Trump, in the beginning. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And then it goes on and says, and the Word dwelt amongst us and became flesh. speaking of Jesus. And I just think to myself, you got to remember leaders who make the Word of God flesh to you. It's not just enough to walk out feeling like you were taught the Bible and you understand the Pentateuch and you understand the books and the prophets and the minor prophets and, you know, the types and the feast and the tabernacles, but the Word of God becomes flesh and you can take, it becomes, you can live, you can wear it, you can put it on. It has changed the way you think. It has changed the way you live. Remember leaders who make the Word of God alive. Come on, somebody praise him. So what do? We actually look at how we evaluate, are we a good follower? By do we remember the leaders who speak the Word of God over us? Amen. And then it says we are to consider the outcome of their conduct, or consider the outcome of their way of life. I actually think sometimes we are too easily impressed with people. I actually think people gravitate toward fads. I think we gravitate toward personalities and we get too easily impressed. I can't tell you the amount of preachers that have written to me and said, man, if you come and have me speak in your church, I will get a crowd. And I'm going, yes, but having considered the outcome of your conduct and your way of life, you got talent, but you don't have any wisdom. Amen. I will consider. I'm not saying anybody's perfect. Don't get me wrong, because you know, if you came to this church expecting me to be perfect, I'm sorry to disillusion you. Like, I don't think anybody in Wave Church would be disillusioned to hear that I am not perfect. Praise the Lord. Sharon, she's perfect. Steve Kelly is not. Come on, somebody, don't feel sorry for me. I'm trying to be honest about the situation. People say to me, what do you think? I said, I don't know. Let me ask Sharon. I'll let you know as soon as I talk to her. Just recently, Sharon actually got me to get rid of my two dogs. And my two dogs, they got to go. I don't want the dogs anymore. And so I said, okay, honey, I'll do that. I'll submit. And because I'm a man in authority, I'm a man under authority. And then she said, I got this big Cape Buffalo head. And she goes, it's too big. You need to get it out of the house. So the Cape Buffalo head's gone. And then she said to me, by the way, I want you to get rid of, I had this, you know, from Brookstone, that massage chair, but it broke and it broke with it reclined. And I'm sure it's an easy fix. And I've always thought to myself, I should fix it. But she goes, it's gone. And so that's out of my house. And then she goes, your Bowflex that's in the spare room that you never use, I want that out as well, which is true. I do never use it. And so basically, I just want you to let you know, I've been neutered. Where did all that come from? We're too easily impressed with some people. And I just think the Bible says, consider the outcome of their conduct. And sometimes we listen to people that actually, if you just look at the outcome of their life, it helps us discern whether they're worth listening to. Are you hearing me? And let me just show you this. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8, and we're going to read down a few verses here. Let's put it up on the screen if we can. It says, now it happened Elisha went to Shunem. Let's say Elisha. And it says, there was a notable woman. And actually, another way it puts it is a well-to-do woman, an affluent woman, an influential person. She's well off. She's a woman of means. And it says, she persuaded Elisha to stay and eat some food. Now, you got to know, how many know that if you can persuade a prophet to do anything, you're persuasive. But if you knew anything about Elisha, if you could persuade Elisha to do something, you got to have some persuasion. You with me here? And so this is a woman that can actually persuade a prophet. And it says she persuaded him to stay and eat some food. And so it was often as he passed by. Everybody say often. So it's not just here today, gone tomorrow. This guy, and obviously the food was good because he came back. Anything you feed comes back. You want crazy people out of your life? Quit feeding them. I'm just saying, okay? And so it says, and he would return there to eat some food. So the food was good. And then she said to her husband, look now, I know this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Now, because he passes by regularly. Okay, consider the outcome of their conduct. Are you seeing this? And so she goes, let us, it says, make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed in there and a table and a chair and a lamp. And so it'll be that whenever he comes here, he can turn in there. She saw something of the anointing of God on his life, and she saw it and she thought, it's worth seeing. I want to measure this man. I want to get to know this man. Let's give him a meal. Yeah, let's talk to him. Yeah. And then he comes back again. Yeah. And he comes back again. Matter of fact, it's often, it's regular. And she now says, having considered the outcome, not just impressed with the gifting, but this is a man of God. And now, because he is a man of God, I'm in. And I want that presence that he brings in our house. He speaks to me about possibilities, about enlargement, about opportunities. Come on, somebody say amen. There's got to come a point in your life when you look at a leader and you consider the outcome of their conduct where you just go, amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. It was just a meal at first. Someone that was in close proximity. Come on, somebody say amen. And so we must imitate their faith. The Bible says, consider the outcome of their conduct. And then it goes, and then we are to imitate their faith. Our lives should be following the faith of our leaders. It's my great prayer here at Wave Church that we're like that. That everything that I feel like we've done as a church, actually we've done it, and we've done it all by faith. Matter of fact, everything we have done has been by faith. Everything that God has done in this church is by the faith of people in this house, believing in the mission and the vision of the house. And I want to make sure that it's not just something that's corporate, but as you actually become a good follower, you say, that faith that I've seen exampled in God's house, I can see that for my house. I can see my house being blessed. I can see my children being blessed. I can take that faith. I can imitate that faith. That can work for my business. That can work for my marriage. That can work for my healing. But you've got to be in close proximity. It's got to be the word is being spoken over you. Come on, somebody say amen. So let me close with this thought. How do we know if we're following well? By following godly leaders. And we remember them, and we don't forget them, and we thank God for them in Jesus' name. Number two, we follow the word. And I already talked about it. We follow the word. The word becomes flesh to us. Amen. The Bible says, I love it. It says, signs and wonders follow the preaching of the word. Paul talks about, stop saying I'm of Paul. Stop saying I'm of Apollos. We're just here to preach the word. Paul says, I planted the seed. Apollos watered, but the Lord's the one that gives the increase. So listen to me. Are we good followers? Do we follow the word of God? Do we allow our lives to actually be through the filter of the word of God? About your yes be yes and your no be no, and say yes to righteousness and say no to unrighteousness. We've got to be people who follow the word. We don't just hear the word, but we do the word. We're followers of the word. We're obedient to the word. I was actually thinking this morning, and actually it was funny because I was listening to Bishop Macbeth, who I love to hear preach just for a little bit, just for a few minutes. And he was using an illustration that I've often used about the 10 lepers. And it says they came to Jesus and cried out to Jesus. And then Jesus said, go show yourself to the Pharisees. And it says, as they went along, they were healed. They didn't get the healing right then and there, but as they went along, amen. And I want to say, as you follow the word, come on, as you follow the word, and as you're on your journey, can I tell you something? Miracles can happen. Amen. Miracles can happen. And here's the last thought. Listen to this very carefully. We don't just follow godly leaders' examples, but we follow the word. And then finally, we have signs following what we believe. And I want to tell you that's true. Whatever you believe, there are signs following. If you believe that the world's getting worse off, then your life will have signs following that the world is getting worse off. If you believe that there's nobody out there for you, you're going to live a lonely life, then you'll have signs following that. Not because that's true, but because to you it's true, that becomes your reality. If you're a person of faith, you'll have faith following, signs following what you believe. Come on, somebody say amen. I want you to think about it. We don't follow signs, signs follow us. I remember when I first came here, people kept talking about, oh, pastor, there's gold dust falling out of Richmond. There's some churches in Richmond and gold dust is falling. Can we have gold dust in our church? And I said, we're not that church. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us. And look what the signs that are supposed to be following us. Look at it. These signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They'll drive out demons, authority over the devil. They will speak with new tongues, a heavenly prayer language. They will pick up snakes in their hands and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on sick people and they will get well. What you believe will have signs following you. Hope or despair, negative or positive, prosperity or greed, blessing or curses. Listen to this. The people following you are a result of are signs of what you believe. The people following you, listen to it. I want you to hear it. We'll have the people following you. I want you to catch it now. Are a sign of your life. Negative people or positive people? They're following you. Come on. Church lover or a church hater? They're following you. There are already signs following us. The moment you hear someone sick, let me pray for you. We've got power over the enemy. These are the power over the devil. We've got a heavenly prayer language. I'm just asking the question. My time's up. Are you a good follower? Are you able to, with all the vision and mission and purpose and leadership, and this is a leadership culture, are you a good follower? Can you remember the leaders that speak the word of God? Have you considered the outcome of their conduct? And then, amen. Can you say amen? And I'm talking about in a marriage between a husband and a wife. I'm talking about a woman who's able to say to her husband, amen. I'm actually talking about somebody who works for a company, an organization, and you are there and you're saying to the person you work for, amen. Amen. I'm here. God has put me here. And amen. If work starts at 9 o'clock, I'll be there at 5 to 9. Amen. Amen. If there's negativity and gossip in the office, I will not be a part of it, for I am in. Amen. Amen. And we follow the word and we have signs following what we believe. What are the signs following you right now? Well, you don't understand. The last 4 years, it's been hard. It's been tough. Well, there'll be the signs that'll follow you. That's different than to say, you know, it's been tough, but God's good. And through it all, I can think about what God did here and how God saved me there and what God did here. It just all depends. Come on, we've got to have signs following what we believe. Come on, if you receive the word, give a lot of hands. I want to pray for you. We're talking to our Seaboard Road campus. I've been ignoring you the whole service. I am so sorry. Our online campus. I know military from all over the world. I know people from all over the world are watching online. And I just want to make sure you understand you are a part of this service and we love you. And I want to give you an opportunity online to commit your life to Jesus. I want to give everybody here in this auditorium an opportunity this morning. Maybe this morning, listen to this. Maybe, you know, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but the Lord gave the increase. There are people here, and I believe God's planted the seed. And I believe that Paul, the Apostle Paul, put a seed. Somebody here has been putting seed in your life, trying to get you to meet Jesus, trying to get you to come back to God. And then maybe somebody else watered it. But I don't know, maybe this morning something got you here that was beyond your normal thinking, where somehow you can say, God got me here this morning. Maybe it was a star that got you here. Like these wise men, there was something that you're searching for more. There's not, the answer is not in yourself. The answer is not in astrology. The answer is not in just happiness. It's in knowing Christ. And when you meet Jesus, there's joy and you gladly bow down and you will worship. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you if you don't know Jesus. If you're not yet a Christian, I want to pray that you will encounter Him. And if you encounter Him, there is joy. There is joy. There is joy. there is peace, there's safety, there's protection. Come on, somebody, are we following the star this morning? You can be seated. Can I pray for you? You say, Steve, I don't know how I got here this morning. It must be God. I don't know, maybe just going into this new year, you just say, yeah, I just don't want to go into a new year with same-o. I need God in my life. I need joy. I need peace. I need direction so I don't end up like one of those photos. We're not just following blindly. Amen. Can I pray for you? I'm going to ask you to do something. You say, Steve, I don't know Jesus as you speak of. Maybe this morning you say, Steve, I once was walking with God, but I'm not anymore. I just want to pray for you. I'm going to ask you to do one simple thing. Everybody online, just click that button. But everybody sitting here listening to me now, look at me. If you say, Steve, I don't know him as you speak of, but I feel like God's giving increase. I feel like God's doing something in my heart this morning. There's been seed planted. People have talked to me about it. And I realize I've come to this house at this time, and this is the decision moment. And I want to make a decision to follow Jesus. I just want you to take your hand when we close our eyes, when we bow our heads and we pray, and just lift it. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. But just by raising your hand, you're saying, okay, I want to follow Jesus. I want to get right with God. I want to come back to God. Are you believing with me, church? Come on, we're good followers. Are you believing with me, church? Let the faith level rise right now. The most important part of this whole service is now. Signs follow what you believe. You know what I believe? I believe there are people here today that need to get right with Jesus. You know what I believe? That we got power over the enemy. Come on, we got power. The God of this world has blinded people so they could not see, but I believe this morning the blindfold's coming off. It's a bit like the blind men. They were following Jesus blindly. They were following Jesus blindly. And then Jesus turns to them and he prays for them and they're healed and their eyes are open. This morning, Jesus is going to open people's eyes. If that's you, let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. And you say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, include me in that prayer. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to God. I want to follow the star. Just lift your hand right now, quickly. Just lift it up. Oh, man. Okay, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Come on, who else this morning? Come on, keep it up. Keep it up, keep it up. I didn't see your hand. God bless you there. 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 Come on, keep lifting them. Keep lifting them. Where are you? I'm looking for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Man, hands are being raised all over the building. Come on, keep lifting them. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Church, can we give the Lord a hand for every single person? Amen. Let's pray this prayer, everybody, out loud. Say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
I ask you to come into my life, to make yourself real to me. Lord, I will follow you. I thank you, Jesus. You now live in me. I'm now a Christian. I'm now a Christ follower. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord one more hand.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.